knowledge fight.
Dan and Jordan, I am sweating.
KnowledgeFight.com.
It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Andy in
Stop it.
Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a Christian caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Celine, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today?
My bright spot today is giving some thanks to some folks. I'd like to thank over the weekend, we recorded a little guest appearance on God Awful Movies.
Indeed we did.
I'd like to thank them for having us on. And also, I forgot to mention this. At the end of last week, an episode that I recorded of a podcast called Your Music Saved Us. Came out. And I'd like to thank Jay and Clifton for having me on.
Long anticipated.
We recorded it a couple weeks ago. I was very excited for it to come out. We talked about a Five Iron Frenzy EP.
Yep.
Christian ska EP that I really, really liked when I was younger. And it turns out I still really like.
Hey.
So yeah, that's a lot of fun. People should go check that out. They're on iTunes and what have you.
I'm looking forward to listening to it.
So yeah, my bright spot is having a little bit of fun dicking around.
Joining other people's shows to have a non-Alex Jones related fun. I think that's great.
Yeah.
I think it's good.
It can be good from time to time.
Yeah.
How about you?
Dan, I have some exciting announcement type news.
I think I know what this is.
I think you do, Dan. Thursday, July 1st, we will be doing the finale episode 8 of the 6-episode series, God's Damn Wizard, and we will be doing it live at 9 p.m. At the Lincoln Lodge in Chicago. That's where we'll be doing it. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
It's all coming together at a very short period of time, and hopefully I will finish writing it by the time we get there.
Yeah, and hopefully there will be a link that people can get tickets
to
that we can put out or something.
Yeah, I will tweet that out whenever it's available. Yeah.
This will be fun, although I am a little bit wary.
We'll see. It's the first time being out in public in a long time.
Yeah, I've gone a little bit in public, but not like a live performance. That's right. a little bit weird.
Yeah,
but you know,
time to get back to it, man.
Maybe we'll see.
Not. Yeah, there's also that possibility too.
So also a secondary aspect of this announcement is that there isn't going to be new episodes of
right.
God's Damn Wizard.
Not until next week. Until Thursday, July 1st, we will not be doing any more episodes of that. So look forward to it. I'll tweet out the link and we'll put it up and you can catch up on the old episodes.
Hoorah.
Yeah.
And then some people have asked about this, and so like just to make it clear and more public, like once all of it's done, you are going to release it as an audio thing.
As a complete
it's
audio
just
thing.
Just video now, but it will be audio once it's all finished up, and it can be edited nice.
Yes,
and
everybody needs to get me their individual audio, which some have been very, very good with.
It seems like a private conversation, Jordan. So today on the podcast, Jordan, we're going to be talking about some modern day business. We're going to be talking about an emergency broadcast that Alex did on Saturday.
I almost screamed blackjack.
This is from June 19th, 2021.
Blackjack! Oh, that was close.
Yeah.
That was tight.
This is an emergency episode that Alex did. And I was glad that he did an emergency episode because I was struggling. I was treading water.
Sure.
Thinking about covering his present day nonsense.
Yeah.
And then this emergency broadcast happened and something monumental went down.
Okay.
Something that we have been waiting for.
Ooh,
for a while happened.
All right. Okay. So it's actually something monumental and not some bullshit.
Nah, it's some bullshit.
Oh, okay. Never mind that.
Yeah, no. It was something I've been excited about happening. It's bullshit.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair.
So we'll get down to business on this. But before we do, Jordan, we're going to take a little moment to say thank you and welcome in some wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, congratulations to Paul on the birth of his first child, Riley. This was sent in by Ryan. I guess we're going to say Riley is a policy wonk.
Okay.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, Ryan. And on behalf of Riley.
And Paul.
Yes.
Next, yeah. Alias McFake Name. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next. What a strange name to be born with.
Yeah. Cool Disco George. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you.
Thanks, Disco George.
And DJ Spouse Mouse. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much, DJ Spouse Mouse.
Thank you. Now, the little bit of a shorter policy wonk thing, but that's because...
Giving someone life is giving someone death. You could say that life is death.
You could. Joel had a birthday.
Shouting something out to someone is also shouting something into someone.
And giving life.
Exactly.
So Joel had a birthday last week. Tammy reached out, wanted to wish a happy birthday.
Happy
Joel,
birthday.
Happy birthday to
happy
you.
Happy birthday.
Denise, how you doing out there? Hope you have a happy birthday. Son Will hit me up and wanted us to wish you a happy birthday.
I thought it might have been Killer Mike. His mom was named Denise.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great trivia. Next, John has a birthday.
Sure.
From Teresa. Teresa says, hey, happy birthday.
All right.
And so do we. We join Teresa.
Happy birthday.
Dusty.
Sure.
Not Dusty Springfield.
Not Dusty Rhodes?
No, he's passed.
Oh, okay.
This person is still alive, as evidenced by their birthday being this
week. Gotcha, gotcha. How's Old Man House Phone doing?
Ooh, bad news.
Oh, shit.
Carrie was the one who reached out and wanted us to wish Dusty a happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Dusty.
And then finally, very special from Michael. This is a happy birthday Technocrat shout out combo.
Wow.
Situation.
Put it all together.
For Ali G, not Borat.
Not Borat.
not Borat.
Okay.
Ali G, a.k.a. Spills with a Z. Happy birthday, and you are a Technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Crikey, mate. That's fantastic. Have yourself a brew.
How's your 401k doing, bro?
All right, we got to go full tilt boogie on this, Watson, all right? Let's just get down to business. We ain't making that money off that heroin. Why are you pimp so good? My neck is freakishly large. I declare info war on you.
Giving life is giving death. Happy birthday to all.
Indeed.
So, Jordan, we're going to start this thing off. And Alex goes for an unconventional approach on this emergency broadcast.
Wait, it's an emergency broadcast.
Yeah.
And he's going to open it with something other than screaming, this is an emergency.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm interested.
And if I was gauging from the title of this video, I would say that it's the emergency is that the January 6th storming of the Capitol was a false flag.
Oh, that does not sound like as much of an emergency as I was expecting.
No.
Mm.
I don't know. I mean, I've watched all of this. I still don't actually understand how this qualifies as an emergency that requires another broadcast.
Yeah, don't you have to take immediate action in an emergency?
You should, or at least you need to be aware of something really fast.
Yes.
And this is standard InfoWars lore at this point.
Not good.
It's a talking point that's really just like, yeah.
All right.
Everyone who's listening would see that headline and be like, we know.
Yeah. Antifa, false flags, the whole thing, FBI, CIA. Trump was probably not or is in on it now.
Yeah. And one of the things I was really thinking about is it seems really weird on first glance that Alex is doing that, having an emergency broadcast about like the 6th being a false flag.
6 month year, old information. Yeah.
But it makes some sense. I mean, if you really think about it, from all publicly available information, Alex seems like he's on pretty solid footing, legally speaking.
Sure.
As it relates to the storming of the Capitol.
Okay.
It seems like something that's getting him a lot of attention. He
right.
constantly is trending on Twitter because people are like, they found this video of him being like, Trump told me to lead a march.
Oh, man.
You know, and like, I think it's probably something really good to lean into for him.
Yeah.
There's a lot of attention. There's a lot of possibility for claiming that people are misrepresenting him.
Totally.
I think it's probably, as long as he doesn't end up defaming anybody in the process, like,
uh-oh.
This is probably a good thing for him to do.
Uh-oh. There we go. There is a downside.
As he is getting this attention, he knows that he needs to, you know, turn it into something.
Oh, yeah, capitalize.
So I love that crew. And I love the boom operator that's been here 7 days. So I know he's going to be here tomorrow for the Sunday show. I just want to thank them. And I'm going to hit this big news. then I'm going to go right to these guests. But instead of always doing it as a footnote at the end, I'm going to do it right now. Because I've got a bunch of reporters I want to hire. And I got operations I want to launch. And I got things I want to do. And I can't do it without your support. So this coming Monday morning, this big sale of high-quality organic vitamin D3.
So yeah, he starts off with a very explicit plug.
Starts off the emergency broadcast with an ad.
Well, because like his staff is overworked, which seems like a him problem.
Sure.
That seems like a management issue.
You could probably hire more staff if they're overworked.
Or cut back.
Or cut back.
Yeah, find ways to do this on more of a shoestring.
Sure, lower your overhead.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But because these people are working 7 days a week, he needs to hire more people, and therefore you need B12 or 2 or whatever.
That
you
does
need
sound
vitamins.
Right. That does sound true.
And they'll give you a lot of energy, right? And sometimes, Jordan, you're laughing, but sometimes
sure.
when you're a person who has a lot of energy, people think you're on cocaine.
And then we've got the three new products the new ones that finally came in with a supply chain breakdown that we're discounting because you're habituated to discounts, and I get it, and I made it that way, and it's my fault. But now we have to sell stuff on sale, even though it's going to sell out. Because you don't buy it unless it's on sale, and then stuff sold out for 6-8 months. That's okay.
Are you complaining to me about you?
X3 back in stock, the tri-iodine for your immune system, your body, your energy, your libido, everything back in stock, 60% off, and free shipping, double Patriot points. Ultimate Krill Oil, 40% off, and of course, Biotrich Selenium for the mustard seed. All at InfoWarsStore.com right there. And I'm telling you, that's lightning in a bottle. That's how we fund this operation. And people always ask, why do you got so much energy? I remember one time I was totally down, exhausted. I've been on air about 10 hours. And I went in the bathroom to take a piss, and I walked out. And one of the security guys saw me rant and rave on air, and he said, my God, or what drugs are you on? You're going to have a heart attack. Are you on cocaine? I said, I hate cocaine. I'm not on drugs. I said, I'm in a war. Well, how'd you go from looking completely exhausted look like you're ready to kill somebody coming out of that bathroom.
Oh,
cocaine. I looked at that mirror and I said, I'm not going to be these people's slaves. I'm not going to bow down to them. I will not be your slave ever. And it's going to take that type of attitude that's going to smash these pedophile scum that are anti-human and are jacked into some evil. So that's what I'm on, is the life force. And to quote John Paul Jones, I've only begun to fight. But I really appreciate this crew and this audience for keeping us in the fight. And I need you to keep me in the fight now. Now, I'll give you everything I've got because to submit to these people's death. But all I need is your word of mouth and your prayers and your support.
Please, just give me money.
Wow.
I will fake mood swings.
That was that was pathetic. That was really pathetic.
Yeah.
That was really sad.
There's two things that I love. One is how artificial that like mood swing is. And if it's
terrible.
Not, he needs to see a doctor.
Yeah.
Because that is outrageous, unacceptable.
Yeah.
The second thing is when he's talking about not being on cocaine, he describes going to a bathroom, which is where people do cocaine.
Almost entirely, You know what was crazy? All those stories about Studio 54 back in the day. You know, people would always go into the bathroom and they'd just scream into the mirror. They'd be like, I'm going to dance!
I'm not somebody who's done a lot of cocaine in my life, but I'm not going to say that I never have. But I will say that I don't think I've ever done it outside a bathroom.
I think we can include laundry rooms.
Hard to say.
Hard to say.
So I don't know. I think Alex is on cocaine.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is just, everything is so fake about the passion and
that's really bad acting.
Yeah. But he'll continue doing that as fakely as long as you pay him. Please give him some money.
Yeah. I don't like being chastised for taking advantage of his discounts and then him being like,
yeah, that was
now I can't sell it at full price anymore.
That's funny.
Like, what? Wait, don't tell me. Don't tell me that.
I put things on sale too much, and now people are used to it, and they know that I'll just put everything on sale in a week if it's not on sale now. And so they never buy anything at a real, like, normal price, so I have to buy things on sale. Fuck you.
That's every time. Yeah, that's like if every time you went to Walgreens, they're like, oh, you're really only going to buy these Reese's Cups on fucking $2 for $3 day, huh? You're not going to buy them on a $1 for $1.99 day, piece of shit.
If one employee at Walgreens, like, after Easter, like the day after Easter, their job was just to boo at everybody. Oh, now
you want the Easter eggs, huh? Ooh, they're delicious. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah. So Alex gets to some of the news.
All right, let me show you these articles. We'll start going to these guests. Look at these. The big Revolver article that's got the globalists running scared. And that's a good thing. And we literally foresaw it and pushed it together 3 weeks ago. This enemy of freedom. White House unveils new strategy to counter domestic terrorism. They mean real Americans. Laser focus on violence. The same thing, Brennan, that communist pervert said.
What?
White House unveils strategy to combat domestic extremism. It's everywhere. It's their whole operation.
So, first of all, this article isn't on Revolver. Revolver isn't so much a news site as much as it is an attempt to make a new Drudge report now that the Trump camp has turned on Drudge.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of links to clickbait headlines for the most part.
Yeah.
The actual article that Alex is talking about here in this clip is from The Hill. The article is not some kind of a bombshell that has the globalists running scared. It's a discussion about how the plans that have been floated by Biden's administration have some possibly good ideas, but also there's some serious blind spots. For instance, here's a quote that's included in that article.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, the Biden administration is rightly focused on addressing white supremacist violence, but its strategy includes none of the civil rights and liberty safeguards that rights groups and communities of color have long sought. That's a criticism of Biden's plan that was put out in a statement by the ACLU, a group that Alex believes is high-level globalist. It seems like the ACLU shouldn't be getting in the mix trying to sow doubt about the globalist plans if they're on board with the globalist plans. But look, man, I'm not a 30-dimension chess player or whatever the fuck.
Yeah, if I was a 30-dimension chess player, I would say that Alex's opposition to this makes more sense. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
On some level, if I were Alex, I would see that new plan that Biden put out as a real threat to my business model. One of the pillars of the plan is to, quote, confront long-term contributors to domestic terrorism. In that section, they say, quote, the U.S. government will also work to find ways to counter the polarization often fueled by disinformation, misinformation, and dangerous conspiracy theories online, supporting an information environment that fosters healthy democratic discourse. I'm not sure that I believe that they're capable of achieving that goal, but if I were Alex, I would recognize that this looks like a situation where he might not get to fly completely under the radar moving forward.
Yeah, that might not be good for him.
I have some qualms with the plan, but it's not really a specific plan. It's very general. And critiquing the general plan is good for conversation and for fostering better ideas.
Sure.
You know, getting the best ideas possible, but I don't think it's where the actual fights are going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, I think the only thing about any of those plans has always got to, like, boil down to, hey, guys, guys, tell me honestly, when there's a Republican president or even this president, will this be primarily used to hurt leftist activists?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is 99% of the time, yes.
Almost so certainly.
Let's calm it down on our plans real quick.
So Alex, is, you know, the false flag, January 6th was a false flag.
Sure.
And you know what? Other people have false flagged before. Now, we know from listening to 2003 that whenever this line of conversation would come up, Putin.
Yeah.
It would be Alex would use Putin
totally.
As an example. He uses it every day
false
in 2003.
Yeah.
Slightly different in the present.
Oh.
Just as the old czarist would stage attacks, and just as the old KGB would do it, and Hitler launched World War II on the back of stage attacks.
Somebody was in the old
part
KGB,
of statecraft.
I remember.
And it's something that corrupt, declining systems do.
Huh. Yeah.
Huh.
Strange how his phrasing is a little,
so
little different.
So weird that he would call corrupt, collapsing countries that did this. Mm. You know, like, it seems weird that there would be one very obvious example.
Well, 18 years changes
the tune. Changes the man. Yeah.
So Alex gets to what he's planning to do for the beginning of this emergency report.
Now, I'm going to hand this over to an interview I did on Friday with one of the main lawyers who is defending people arrested in the Capitol. So This is an interview from Friday. And then I've got an interview that some watch, but not enough, of my head of security, Tim Enlow, from January 6th, when he witnessed what he saw and what happened. He ended up telling the story a little while after it unfolded when we were on a family vacation in Utah. But Tim Enlow goes through exactly what really transpired and what happened.
So Alex plays like 20 seconds of like a lawyer. And yeah. I don't even know how to make heads or tails of it.
Okay.
And then a very long conversation he had with his security guard.
It was easier to get him.
On a family vacation, he interviewed his security guard. Also, Rob Dew is there.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a good dad.
As I recall, the Utah trip was when he went to his food supplier, the My Patriot Supply warehouse.
Yeah.
So I don't. Family vacation with the security guard going to your disaster food supplier.
Yeah,
that sucks.
That's just a business trip. That's not even a workcation or whatever it is you want to call it. That's just going to work.
Yeah, if you're the kids and you're along for that, you're not having
Bummer.
A great time.
Bummer. Yeah. And you're in Utah. Mm-hmm. I mean, Salt Lake City is nice.
Sure. We don't need to listen to anything of the security guard because it's honestly just exactly what they've said pretty much all along, which is... You know, hey, we were asked to lead this march to the Capitol because there was another stage that was going to be set up there. There was going to be another rally. And as far as I can tell, that makes sense. It seems like everyone's actions make sense based on that.
Yeah.
Trump was on stage saying that he was going to march down with them.
Yep.
They're going to have another rally to give strength to the spying, needing Republicans.
Yep.
I don't know. I found the interview incredibly boring.
Yeah.
And it doesn't contradict any of the things that I think are actually the problems.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, it's on the side.
No,
parsley.
Their defense is, I mean, it rings true just because it's the only part of the story that they have told exactly the same way over and over and over again. Mm. You know, like every other part of it, oh, it's a false flag, Antifa was in there, all that stuff has changed 30 times in the first week after it happened.
True.
But the story of like, we weren't instigating, we were walking here, always the same.
Yeah.
Always the same.
And the video of Alex very clearly being like, don't do this. Like, it checks out and it does follow his behavior, even from when I was watching the live coverage on the day, the way that Harrison Smith was celebrating it, and then once Alex realized shit was going down, everything changed. The coverage on InfoWars changed because Alex was in the field. He didn't have control over what Harrison was doing.
Right.
And then they got the script and they realized, oh shit. And Alex, like, there's also video of like one of his employees trying to get the police to let Alex get on like a megaphone to like calm the crowd down. Like, first of all, if you're the cop, absolutely not.
No. No way. No way am I giving Alex Jones a megaphone.
Because what if you do, and then he's like, take the building.
Oh, he can go rogue at any time. You can't trust him. He's not. He's a rogue agent.
And even best case scenario, he gets up there and he's like, hey, everybody stop. And then they don't.
Yeah.
It's a no-win situation. But the video that they have of their actions and their behavior on that day, unless somebody can provide actual evidence of them doing that as cover for what they're doing behind the scenes,
right,
unless that can be demonstrated, then I don't think the story of Alex's actual actions that day are as important as the story and the conversation about how these narratives propelled people to these actions.
Agreed. I think the thing that bothers me most about people being like, see Alex, look at these videos, see Alex was there and he was leading all this shit, is that ultimately you're giving Alex too much credit.
Yeah, you're turning him into like Darth Vader.
He is too much of a coward to ever even come close to doing something like that.
Yeah.
And so whenever you give him that kind of like, I'm sure part of the reason that he wants to do this is just so he can be like, see, look at how strong people think I am.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how much people think I could be running everything if only I weren't so much of a giant fucking coward.
Well,
you know?
Coward and, I mean, just a stumble bum.
Yeah.
Like
it's good for the brand and it's a business and all of that stuff. But, I mean, ultimately, I really don't think he has the courage to do something like that.
I would be surprised.
Yeah.
Speaking of the business, though, Alex does play an ad.
Of course
after,
it does.
I think this is after the security guard interview. Sure. And I just thought this was really funny.
The globalists want all of us to be victims. Everything they do is about debilitating us, dumbing us down, making us sickly, and trying to cut us off from each other and cut us off from God. Well, about 4 years ago, the Jones family began to carry out a ritual of health. Every 3 or 4 days, I get out a scoop of vitamin infusion or two, put it in a glass pitcher, stir it up, put some ice in it, put it in the refrigerator, and at least once or twice a day, have a refreshing, totally healthy, nutritious drink.
So yeah, Alex's family has a ritual of making juice from powder.
Man.
I just think it's fun to like call it a ritual. The globalists are trying to kill us all off, and so in order to fight back, my family has a new ritual, which is we make juice.
We make Kool-Aid pretty regularly.
But it's healthy Kool-Aid.
You know, like if you've ever seen those Sunny D commercials, we're like, no Sunny D, we're going to make our own stuff. You know, we're cool like that.
All right. Oh boy. I just think that's fun. The phrasing is fun.
Yeah.
Something that's less fun is that Alex then starts having some guests.
Oh, that's no fun.
No.
Is Stuart Rhodes one of them?
Fuentes joins us. We appreciate his time.
Oh, no.
To talk about this. Wow, what a historic point. What a crazy thing to be involved with, Nick.
No!
Yeah, well, and it's a really groundbreaking new report here from Revolver. I think it's blown the lid wide open on this entire situation and hopefully given some clarity about what really went on that day, right?
Yeah, so the baby bigot, Nick Fuentes, is in the mix. And I kind of misspoke earlier. Mm-hmm. Revolver is primarily just a link aggregator like Drudge, but they do actually post some of their own blog content. And I think what happened earlier is that Alex referenced a link they posted to this Hill article when his talking point for the day was supposed to be about this blog that Nick brings up here.
Gotcha.
This is just a really overwritten plea for people to insist that the only relevant variable in terms of January 6th is whether or not law enforcement had moles inside the Proud Boys, Oath Keepers, and the Three Percenters. That's the only thing that matters. And if law enforcement did, then the whole thing has to be a sham. One paragraph really stood out to me as dumb. Quote, if it turns out that the federal government, FBI, Army Counterintelligence, or a similar agency, had undercover agents or confidential informants embedded in any of the groups involved in January 6th, the federal intelligence agency's failing to warn of a potential for violence looks less like an innocent mistake and more like something sinister.
Hmm.
This is part of a discussion about how the excuse that has been used to explain the storming, that there was, you know, an intelligence failure, but if that's what was used, but if there were any informants, then that can't be true, and that's a suspicious thing that they're using that excuse now.
Sure.
Anyone who has any idea how these types of groups operate knows that this sentiment is just so dumb. Groups like the Oath Keepers specifically follow a leaderless resistance model, so they can avoid damage that confidential informants can cause. One group inside the organization might have no idea what another group is up to, and it's best if it stays that way. There are central figures in these organizations like Stuart Rhodes for the Oath Keepers or Enrique Tarrio for the Proud Boys, but they aren't going to know what each of their splinter groups is up to. They set up their groups like disconnected franchises because then it's harder to disrupt. This is a classic strategy that the extreme right wing has been using for a long time, but specifically since the
90s. And and all terrorists.
But very explicitly, you can find conversations in right wing circles of this being their model since the 90s.
Yeah, I mean, they wanted to create an insurgent attitude, and they have 100% done so.
Yeah. Even Alex's show operates kind of this way. Like, when Millie Weaver put out Shadowgate, it was pretty clear that Alex had no idea what she was doing with her time. He was paying for the documentary, but he didn't know what her point was, who she was talking to. He didn't know anything. She, as is the case with most of his employees, are tasked with knowing what they're supposed to do and operating in ways where Alex has plausible deniability to not be personally implicated if something they do is a fuck up.
Yeah.
Pretending that an informant in any of these organizations would definitively prove that the government had all the information about the group's plans is just dumb. And I refuse to believe that whoever wrote this piece doesn't know that.
Yeah.
This is just sort of like a defense argument. It's not even a real argument.
Yeah, that's kind of ridiculous.
I tried to read this piece, and it basically just boils down to how there are people who are left anonymous in charging documents for the Oath Keepers, There's the charging documents for the Oath Keepers who were indicted in the storming.
Sure.
And there's names that are not listed in there, like person two, person
right,
three.
Right.
And so, like, is what if these people are FBI agents?
Sure.
It's full of, like, enticing speculation, but it literally proves nothing. It's just, it's a very long article that proves nothing.
So then it's not even, they're not even making the argument that it's a false flag so much as it's entrapment?
Yeah. But, I mean, false flag can mean whatever you want now.
Sure. Well, that's fair.
Yeah.
That is fair that words have no meaning in this world.
Not anymore.
Yeah.
So the idea is that these FBI agents inside these groups, who are now these unnamed people in the charging documents,
right,
are they're all FBI agents.
All FBI.
And guess what? Alex knows who they are.
Okay.
Because I have a lot of sources, and we'll just leave it at that. We know the names of the FBI agents that are actually in the building, not just informants. What are they going to do, Nick, in the next few weeks and months when that's all released? I mean, it's perfect. If they'd have spun and said, yeah, we were in there to try to stop it, they could. But no, they denied it all, Nick. They've taken the bait again.
Watch this space for Alex to announce the names of these FBI.
Wow.
I can't wait for this not to happen.
Yeah, that would definitely ruin his parade if he just started naming FBI agents.
Yeah. So Nick Fuentes is incredibly annoying, and I find him insufferable to listen to.
Him so much.
He's not talking about being banned from flying at this point.
Nice.
But he is talking about how this January 6th unravels. And when it unravels, everything comes with it. It's like that sweater song by the Weezer, right? Weezer.
Ah. Not a Weezer guy.
No?
No.
You don't know that if you want to destroy my sweater?
No, I do not.
Pull this thread as I walk away?
Not a Weezer guy. Not even Pinkerton.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't really love them that much either, but I know references.
Anyway,
if you want to destroy the globalist sweater, you pull the thread of January 6th while they walk away.
Gotcha.
What's going to unravel in all of this is the myth of January 6th. That will unravel the myth of the 2020 election, the Biden landslide. That will unravel the myth of COVID, which was the pretext to use the mail-in ballots to rig the election. It's going to unravel all the events of the entire past 1 year and how all of this was culminating in the overthrow of Donald Trump by the deep state. It was all just a big color revolution. And this is one of those things that is going to, if this comes apart, will unravel a series of huge, massive lies.
So Nick Fuentes has a unified conspiracy about everything that's happened over the last year and a half or so.
Mm.
Cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So when this goes nowhere,
yeah.
What's his new fucking bullshit?
He'll probably get back to complaining about the airlines.
I know. I just can't stand this.
I don't know. He'll just retreat to like demographic birth rate nonsense.
Has anybody tried really yelling into his face though?
I'm sure.
Like really loudly.
I'm sure.
Just like. No, over and over and over and over again.
I know that you think that you have a banshee-like power with your yelling, but I think that a smug prick like Nick Fuentes is pretty immune to yelling.
All right, we'll see.
I would assume that throughout his high school career and the few years he's been out of high school, he's been getting a lot of people yelling at him.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's so easy to hate.
Oh,
and he's so easy to hate.
And it only gets easier.
And again, it's globalist interests are going to organize groups into thinking it's okay to literally attack and overrun and attack white people. This is the sick Marxist plan. They're not going to do it according to class. They're going to do it according to race. They admit that. And so
they
you know,
do. They do. And you're right. That's what's happening in South Africa. That is what happened in Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia. This is what's happening all across the world. And, you know, people are just going to have to make a really tough decision, which is, what are we willing to do to save our Western civilization? We were given this great inheritance.
Okay, Nick. So I love when someone like a Nick Fuentes is like, I'm not racist at all. And then he starts talking about Western heritage and our great inheritance and how it was squandered.
Yep.
And the two examples that he has of the squandering of it are South Africa and fucking Rhodesia.
Yep. Yep.
What do those things have in common, Nick?
I can't,
you dumb bastard.
I can't believe that white people were forced to endure the injustice of continuing to own 90% of South Africa.
I feel like those sorts of moments are real indications that, like, he's trolling. Like, whenever he's like, I'm not racist. I just care about America. Like, he knows he's fucking with people. Like, it's outrageous.
Rhodesia means white nationalist. The end. Mm-hmm. Just being like, hey, here's how Rhodesia should have gone. We keep it is white nationalist. The end. I mean, there's no other way of putting it. We believe we should be able to go into a country, take all of their land by force and violence, and then force them to work for us for nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, fuck Nick Fuentes.
Fuck Nick Fuentes.
Alex had other guests on this show, and so I deemed some of this a priority thing. I got kind of tired of Nick. They weren't really talking about much.
Sure.
It was kind of just about how, like, the extreme right is so strong.
Sure.
And the system is weak.
Eh, you guys couldn't even overthrow the fucking Capitol.
All of this, but they're going to pull that thread, and all of this is going to collapse. The system is done for. The right is going to win.
That doesn't sound true.
Alex also has his lawyer, Barnes, on. We're not going to listen to any of that, because who gives a shit?
Good work, Barnes.
Yeah.
You didn't even make it onto our show.
Nope. Just bored me.
Try stand-up.
Yeah. And Alex also talks to Pete Santilli, who's a guy we've heard a couple times on the show. And I heard this, and I was like, well, you are disqualified, sir.
So when I got out of the Marine Corps, he gave me a sit-down. He was telling me how powerful the Nazi, you know, socialist movement was. And he, in fact, and my dad is not a white supremacist, but he did describe to me historically, he said it was so powerful that, you know, 99% of the people in Germany, you know, voted for Hitler. It was the people that allowed Hitler to rise to power because 99%? Of the trinkets that they offer, you know, of course, freebies for everyone, schooling for everyone. He said it was so powerful that it was the people that actually propelled Hitler to power.
Firstly, Hitler was very specifically not in favor of universal programs.
No, absolutely not.
I'm sure that at no point was he out there advocating for free tuition for everyone. Maybe for Aryans or something, but not for everyone.
I mean, maybe later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Second, this is an absolute fabrication and lie about how Hitler came to power. It doesn't matter that this has nothing to do with reality. This story doesn't exist to convey history and help people understand the world better. The reason this story exists is to demonize social welfare programs, pure and simple. Hitler didn't become chancellor because he and the Nazis offered everyone trinkets. He'd run for president against Hindenburg in 1932, and he got 36.8% of the vote. And afterwards, he was appointed chancellor as part of an attempt to create a coalition government that would tamp down the Nazi movement from getting out of control, but more importantly, make sure that the communists stayed far away from power.
Yeah.
By the time of the Reichstag fire and the Enabling Act, the only people in government who were opposing Hitler were the left-leaning Social Democrats. And probably the communists would have, but they weren't in the Reichstag anymore.
Nope.
Pete Santilli tells this story because he wants everyone listening to think that if you have a politician talking about expanding Medicare or Social Security, the next thing they're going to do is set up concentration camps.
Yeah.
It's total bullshit. He's just against public spending. That's like it's just a desperate attempt to make that argument based on nothing.
And just one of the subtlest things in it is that 99% number of just like it is easy. And it is right to demonize everyone that disagrees with you. 99% of them will be taken in by trinkets. Mm. They're not even people smart enough to wake up. They can't. Trinkets are all they need. So it's fine to obliterate them.
Yeah.
Just like you wanted to the Nazis.
Yep. So anyway, fuck Pete Santilli too. This emergency report really was about one thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about Alex's ideas that the January 6th is a false flag.
Yeah.
I don't care about Nick Fuentes.
No.
I don't care about Barnes, and I don't care about Pete Santilli.
All of them.
I care about one thing. Mike Down.
Well, he's one of our most popular guests, and he is back by demand. Dr. Steve Pachinik is a best-selling author.
Yes.
You're a witch. You were saying last week, we were talking after the show, you were like, man, I'm missing Steve. I've been needing a big swing.
But I also was saying that, like, I feel Steve coming back.
He's coming.
Like, it's just... It's
around the corner.
Even when Alex and him had the falling out about his ridiculous predictions around the election, I still was like, all right, he's on timeout. He'll be back.
Yeah.
He'll be back. And here we are. Here we are in June. Steve is back.
So as far as the bet went,
he made the soft landing into Owen's show.
Right.
He started coming back on the War Room a little bit.
Okay.
And then that was the way to get the toe in the water. But the thing that I find really interesting about that clip is that Alex is like, by popular demand,
yeah,
Steve Pachanik is back. Yeah. I think he might have gotten bullied into having Steve back
on. It does kind of seem like it. And they let him go on Owen's show as like a, hey, listen,
yeah,
if you can prove you can stay on target on this show, then we'll give you that.
Or if it's not too humiliating.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so great.
What a fucking kid gloves. He's too popular to get rid of completely, but yeah, I hate him so much.
I gotta say that if there were a guest that we had, like if we had guests, and there was a guest we had who was really, really popular, but also was a complete dick,
yeah,
and was using us and lying to everybody,
yeah,
I wouldn't care how popular they were.
No,
they would not
matter.
Be on my show
wouldn't
ever
matter.
Again.
No.
Yes.
And if we had people being like, no, you gotta have him back on the show, we'd be like, we will not be having him back on the show. End of conversation.
And you should stop listening because
yes,
you like that guy.
If you like it, goodbye.
Yeah. Oh, what integrity Alex has.
Oh, he's just one of the heroes of our time. Tip of the spear.
Undoubtedly.
Uh-huh.
So Alex lets Steve speak his piece. And this to me is Steve declaring victory over InfoWars.
It's always a pleasure, Alex. Always remember you and I are the focus of the rage of the left. And particularly when you have what we call liberal fascism. This is what you're beginning to see with the Biden administration, with Susan Rice, with Obama. Biden isn't running anything. He had three aneurysms. He's cognitively impaired. There's a demand for him to take a test. The real issue now is that we are in the midst of a military coup. I said it to you a year and a half ago.
Where are those watermark ballots,
the
buddy?
Computers. We marked the ballots. We know exactly who's corrupt. We know where the corruption's occurring. And what you're seeing is the federal government trying to hold on.
So now, by popular demand, Alex has to have Steve back on. And Steve isn't budging on the watermark ballots.
Nope. Yep. They made the bet.
Yep.
He lost the bet.
Yep.
And still going for it.
Well, he's going to mold reality in such a way,
sure,
as to win the bet.
What an asshole. What a... That, I mean, I can totally understand why Alex hates him, like, on a deep level, because that is a narcissistic psychopath fighting a narcissistic psychopath and losing your reality to his.
Mm-hmm.
That's brutal.
But one of, like, it's two narcissistic psychopaths, but one is way better at manipulating people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a pro. He's a real pro. And Alex is an easy mark.
So you might have some doubts about watermark ballots.
I have plenty of them.
Well, you should let those doubts go to bed.
Okay.
We marked the computers. We marked the ballots.
With crypto engraving.
And it was a sophisticated engraving. This was a sting operation run by many of our military intelligence, civilian intelligence, key selected people who knew that we were having a corrupt government and they were tired of war. And we went on your show to basically pronounce that and make that announcement clear to the American public, because you became the one source that was reliable, valid, and important to our institutions.
I am going to say a bunch of shit directly to your face that you know is not true,
yeah,
and have told me is,
yep,
not true. And then I'm going to compliment you for,
yep,
it at the end.
Yep.
That went from compliment as a way of buttering,
oh,
you up to compliment as the knife,
oh, yeah,
stuck deep into your gut and then twisted around.
Flattery as a weapon.
Oh, that is, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, because in order to stand up for your dignity, disagreeing with the bullshit I'm saying, you would have to disagree with
the compliments
the
I'm giving you. Oh, God, that's so evil.
It's amazing.
That's evil.
Yep.
That's so, just so good.
So Steve's got another prediction here, and it's I don't think this is a good one. Basically, he's saying that the Democrats won't exist within a few months.
Oh, that'll be tough.
And what you're seeing is the eruption of a party that will no longer exist within a few more months. They sound as if they're going to be successful, but they're not at all.
So I'll give them, I'll just to be generous to Steve, I'll give them till the end of the year.
Yeah.
So the Democratic Party exists by the beginning of 2022. Steve,
yeah.
Will once again be incorrect.
I mean, I would say I have to. I'll stop it at about halfway through the campaign season. You know what I'm saying? Whenever the Democratic congressmen are going back for their next House of Representatives, the senators are up for some stuff.
That's past a few months.
Well, I'm trying to be as generous as possible.
I feel like giving 6 months is pretty generous.
That's true. Yeah. But I mean, you know, you got to at least see if the Democrats campaign before they're eradicated completely.
Maybe they, I don't know. This is all bullshit.
Yeah,
but
super bullshit.
So Alex has this big talking point that he throws out a bunch.
Sure.
And that's that Trump has come out and he said, we're going to win back Congress and maybe even the presidency before you expect.
No, that's probably true.
Well, Alex asks Steve, why did Trump say that stuff? And Steve's got an interesting answer.
Okay.
What about the amazing statement by Trump 2 weeks ago where he said, we're going to win the House, we're going to win the Senate, and we're going to win the presidency a lot sooner than you think, basically saying Joe Biden would be gone. And now you see prestigious Democrat doctors saying he needs to step down.
Prestigious?
We see all the evidence of election fraud and the proof coming out. And I look at the body language of Garland and of others, they look like deer in the headlights. So can you lay out for us what you thought was going to happen on January 6th versus what's happened, but what's then now unfolding right now? And what do you think Trump's cryptic statement meant?
What Trump's statement meant was simply to say that he knew and was aware and partook of the fact that we in the military and in the intelligence community selected a certain number of people to be involved in what we call the sting operation, where we put watermarks and encrypted code on the machines, the voting machines, and all the ballots.
So Trump is in on it now.
That is so good. That is so good. Alex gave him that subtle, like, what you thought back then. Tell us what you think now, as though they were going to be different.
Nope.
Same bullshit.
Yeah, but
same
Alex bullshit. Alex is also giving some signal to, like, hey, you know, it turns out you maybe were right about all that stuff. Maybe I was wrong. That's such a submitting kind of.
Yep. Alex got tricked by daddy again.
Yep. One of the things that might come into your mind is like, okay. So they ran this big sting operation. Obviously, there's going to be some guilty parties.
Sure,
right?
Somebody's
got to be in prison, right?
Secret indictments.
Involved in what we call the sting operation, where we put watermarks and encrypted code on the machines, the voting machines, and all the ballots. In the process, we understood that there would be a lot of people implicated, indicted, and convicted, and sent not to the prisons in America, but to our prisons in Guantanamo. We built a whole new facility a year ago using new wiring, not in the old Guantanamo, but in the mountains of Guantanamo. Many of these people have been sent down without any notice to anybody else.
What?
Yeah, so apparently a bunch of people are secretly in Guantanamo now. So this is just QAnon stuff.
There's a bunch of white-collar bureaucrats they forced to go to a mountain stronghold prison in Guantanamo?
And probably the Pope.
And probably the real Pope. Yeah, that's probably true. Oh, man.
Yep.
I don't want to go to that prison.
No,
that sounds terrible.
So Steve gets talking about January 6th, and essentially what it is a Pelosi, Merrick Garland false flag or something.
Just doesn't sound true.
It's not. But what's more important, listen to Steve spin his wheels while trying to describe Merrick Garland. Mic down for this. I really want you to pay attention to this because it's outrageous.
And this is once again Nancy Pelosi agreeing to have this type of false flag using another one of our Washington-based, quote, Attorney General's Garland. It's a fool. Garland went to a school called Andover. He was a little prep school from a WASP family in New York, then went to Yale, and then went to a prestigious law firm where he only earned $9 million, Alex, in one case, and is worth between about $16 million to $24 million, never having served our country, never having built a business, never having to take a risk like you and I have. So basically, it's the Jewish guy. It's the other guy. He's the Jewish guy who also went, ironically, to Harvard, also went to Harvard undergraduate, Harvard law school.
Steve got the memorized bio for Merrick Garland wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, that doesn't sound right at all.
No. He's just, yeah, I mean, he has these like little bits of little information that he's memorized about folks to throw out. But you also notice that like the things that he sort of hinges on are like he's a WASP, he's a Jewish guy, like it's weird.
Yep, yeah. You got to know what people are before you can build an opinion about them, Dan. That makes perfect sense.
Seems to be what Steve...
That's what Steve believes, and that's because he's a giant fucking white nationalist racist.
Boy.
Yeah.
And scary. Like
terrifying.
If he actually believes the things that he's saying, he is so scary. He is, oh God. People should be chasing him with butterfly nets.
No, like, no, absolutely. He should be in a Hannibal Lecter mask 100%.
Yeah. So Steve gets to talking about how the Democrats are done.
Yeah,
but
sure.
So is the GOP, because Trump has now created a new, better party.
Sure.
And his reasoning for this is strange.
Okay.
What you're seeing is the end of a political party, the so-called Democrats. In turn, we will end the Republican Party as we know it, because Trump came in as a black sheep in the dynamics of politics. In other words, he was so far out that we, the people, understood that we needed a businessman to come in and no longer a politician. As Vladimir Putin said it correctly when he saw Biden, or if he did see Biden, he said, look, Biden is nothing more than a political hack who's been around for 43 years. What I need is a man who has character, personality, and is able to take the risks that I, Putin, have taken before in running Russia.
So, yeah, apparently Biden's a bad president because Putin doesn't like him.
You know, it's really weird in 2021 to listen to just out-and-out fascists talk fascistly, you know, where you're like, I don't remember people being so openly fascist back in the day. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention, but as a kid, I don't remember, like, just hearing all these fascists talk all the fascist time.
I do feel like this is more overt than even I remember
this
some of Alex
is
being.
Really fascist.
Yeah, I mean, and like, just even on, you know, putting that aside, think about how overt, like, this conversation about an ongoing military coup to overthrow the government is. Like,
and banal, too. Yeah.
Steve is almost sort of, like, gleefully just discussing, like, we're overthrowing the government.
Yeah, it's all over.
At this point, we're basically cleaning out what I call the lavage of 21. This is a political lavage of America, both Republicans and Democrats.
All right, Dr. Pacheco, explain what a political lavage is for those of us that didn't live in France.
A political lavage.
Not
it's
funny.
Basic. I'm using a fancy term that I created to make sure that the American people understands we're basically cleaning out the system. An alternative term for that was a coup or regime change. When I came on your show and I explained that I had the right to say publicly that we were in the midst and the beginning of a military coup, which was a sting operation, I wasn't coming to the forefront and saying something that I wasn't allowed to say.
Yeah, so he's got a lavage going on, if you don't know what Steve's own
made-up political term is.
It's a coup.
I was going to say coup, but I said a different word to make everybody think that I'm super smart, but instead I just made up a term, which makes me look like a complete asshole.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's got an ongoing military coup on his hands, and that seems like a lot. That seems like a lot. But Steve's team, they're in deep. They're everywhere.
It does seem like that.
Dude. This is a big revelation.
Okay.
If true, which it's not, this is a huge deal.
We in the we outside the administration, some of them are famous generals. Keith Alexander's one. He's on Amazon. We threw out Bezos. He's head of the chairman of the board at Amazon. But the reason we took over Amazon was we wanted a civilian cloud, and the largest cloud. In turn, we placed in a four-star General Nakasone, third-generation Nisei.
You are out of your fucking mind.
On the Western Front. He was in Cyber Command. We put him into the White House. So what we did was to take over this administration and allow it to play out in their own corruption, in their own miscreant way, because we knew that everything they were about to do would be either ignorant, corrupt, and dangerous to the United States.
Well, let me tell you what adds credence to what you're saying. Xi Jinping won't even talk to Biden or any administration. They won't even talk to him like they're scared, like they know it's a trap.
Steve has a little team, and they have taken over Amazon and the government. It's amazing.
That's a big swing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a big swing. You know, you come to Steve for a big swing, and we overthrew Amazon first. Mm-hmm. Not the swing I was expecting, well, but that's a big one.
They needed the cloud.
That biggest company in the world thing, we stole it. Mm-hmm. We commandeered it. Bezos, get out of here.
If Alex took that seriously for a fucking second.
1 second.
He would have to be like, all right, Steve, fix all that shit that I complain about Amazon all the time.
Totally. Totally. Why aren't you guys doing anything right?
Yeah.
You're military owned now or whatever.
Nonsense.
Yeah.
So one of the things that Steve wants you to know, though, is like, okay, so look, there appear to be some frosty relations between Biden and China.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like things are maybe as amicable.
Bad time.
Not great.
Yeah.
But.
What?
It's fine.
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, that's good.
Because Steve talked to China.
No.
But the key point here was that Xi Jinping understood that Biden was not in control. I had sent him a message with the approval of my people a year and a half ago that this was not relevant to China. We would remain friends of China. At the same time, we sent a message to Modi of India to say we are your friends as well.
Yeah, so Steve's in touch with Xi and Modi.
Wow. I feel like Steve is more involved now than he was in the past.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like now Steve has gone from being like, I'm part of an operation to being like, I'm running this shit.
I think it's an escalation that comes with knowing that you're untouchable to Alex.
Yeah.
Alex can't fuck with you at all, so why not go ahead and create yourself as like this arch super villain slash hero, I guess, depending on perspective.
And he's using we, and you think he's talking about his team, but part of me is like, we're at the royal we level of him describing himself,
at this point you can get away with whatever you want. You've got Alex basically dead to rights on everything. You can just he's not going to put up a fight about anything. Fired David Knight, kicked you off the show for a few months, and now he's forced to have you back.
Oof.
Like, you could get away with whatever you want. Why not just legend build?
Yeah.
Alex has to yes and you.
Oh, man, but Jesus, this is so big.
I control all the levers of power in the world. I told China, put up with Biden, it's cool.
You know, like, there's that big lie theory that he's operating on with Alex now. This is too big. This is too big of a lie. Yes. This is just too big.
But I did notice there that he pronounced it Xi Jinping.
Yes.
And that makes me think that that's why Alex pronounces it that way.
That would make sense.
Probably from talking to Steve.
Too much. Which is how much anybody who ever speaks to Steve talks to Steve.
Sure. Yeah, don't talk to that dude.
Don't talk to him. Just don't talk to him.
So Steve was talking about how, like, they've taken over Amazon, and they also took over the government. Mm-hmm. And they took over the Biden administration, essentially, in order to let it play out its corrupt ways.
Sure.
And this is because they wanted to show the world that this is all corrupt, right?
Yeah.
So they had to let it happen. See,
that's a bad plan.
If Trump had won.
Right.
Then, you know, maybe you get a little bit done. But if Trump loses, it shows how corrupt everything is.
Right.
You get even more done. You can,
right.
It's
No, that's
brilliant.
A bad plan. That's
brilliant.
A bad plan. No, that's a bad plan.
Brilliant.
I know you think you're playing the long game, but that's a bad plan.
It's brilliant.
All right. Well, we'll see.
And that's all Trump was trying to do, man.
Okay.
Trump was just trying to show the world that things weren't good.
That doesn't sound true.
What happens is you enter self-destruction. And that's what Washington was all about. And that's what Trump was trying to show the people. And those of us who worked in Washington but no longer live there, trying to show the American people how incompetent, corrupt, and disgraceful these people, politicians were. The Mitt Romney, a Mormon from Utah, yet he was a governor of Massachusetts. Now he's a senator from Utah.
Undoubtedly, they're all incompetent. Here's what I'm asking you. Listen, a blind hog gets acres twice a day. Broken clocks are right twice a day. I love hearing all this confidence. It's wonderful for radio, TV. All of what you said has come true. They're now saying there are secret watermarks 3D holograms on the ballots, and now I see certified experts. It's true.
Don't.
They're not. They're not.
Oh, no, Alex.
Oh, man.
Oh, you loser. Oh. See, this is what I'm saying. Don't you dare tell me that Alex could help overthrow the fucking Capitol. Mm-hmm. Steve Pachenik made him turn into a little baby dog. Pathetic.
Alex could actually help a fake overthrow of the government.
Yes, totally.
Happen.
Yeah, no, it'd be great.
In the War of the Worlds radio play,
right,
kind of sense.
Right.
But yeah, this is a little silly. So Steve wants you to know that this is really actually a good thing that's going on. The intelligence community, it's all getting cleansed.
Mm.
Alex is like, he's all worried for his own safety, and Steve's like, you're fine.
Of course.
You're fine.
Of course.
This is far more of a cleansing than anybody realizes. Will you be harmed? No. Are they dangerous? Could be. Will they hurt you? No. Will an Obama come back and write another nonsensical book? Yes, that's what they gave him.
What is happening?
He was brought on Netflix, A Dying Institute. What happened in the process? Hollywood went under.
I mean, I guess he does own Amazon Prime.
You said on my show 18 years ago, this would all happen. We've got to find those interviews.
Correct.
You've been dead right. So I get what you're saying.
Yeah, you got to find those interviews.
Yeah, find those interviews.
Please.
Find those interviews. I would like you to find those interviews.
Yeah, I love that self-interview of like, are they going to hurt you? No. Are they dangerous? Maybe. But are they going to hurt you? No. Is Obama going to write another dumb book? You bet.
Wow, what an infuriating way of talking to me. You asshole.
Yeah.
He put it out on Netflix, A Dying Entity. What?
Netflix seems to be doing all right.
Netflix is doing fine. Yeah. Or not. I don't care. Mm. Why does that have any... Ugh.
So, look, you think that that's an annoying way for someone to speak.
Do I? Yes. Is it going to continue? Probably. Am I worried? No.
I would say that you need to show some goddamn respect because this man single-handedly he took down the Soviet Union.
No!
Years ago on your show, and maybe this was before I was on your show, 1980s, I was involved in the takedown of the Soviet Union. Not me, just a group of us involved, both CIA, military. We took it down without any force or kinetic action. What happened is we made a little mistake. Instead of picking someone like Putin, we decided, and that was my fault, to have somebody who was rational, open-minded, and we picked Gorbachev.
Look, Gorbachev is on me, guys.
I cannot believe how magnanimous he is being with admitting guilt for a thing he could not have been less involved in.
Look,
in the physical universe we inhabit, anything that he has ever done had zero effect.
Me and my boys, we took down the Soviet Union. And then, look, we fucked up.
Don't just say that to me.
We fucked up. We put in Gorbachev and should have gone with a dictator right from the start.
I do like that strategy of admitting fault for something that you absolutely did not do.
It's disarming in a certain way.
I kind of like that. Try that at work the next time whenever they're like, hey, you have been doing a listen, I'm really sorry. I thought it would be a good idea to overthrow the Human Resources Department, mm-hmm. and I installed the current head, and that's on me. That's mm-hmm. on me right now. And they're like, what? Do you have a part of the hiring process? What's happening?
Well, little do you know, I have been pulling the strings on all capitalist enterprises since the beginning of time. Invented investing.
Just swing. Hey. Have you ever seen Undercover Boss and then take your beard off?
I invented the chair. What?
Oh, my God.
You know, before I came along, there wasn't photosynthesis.
I just can't. Steve Pachenik, man. That dude. There's a disease there, but I don't know which, what, or how bad it is, but it's bad.
What's so amazing about him is that, like, I feel this way about Alex, too, is like there will never be another.
No,
like
no.
There won't be another Alex because he came along at this perfect time in the era of public access TV and right wing radio becoming ascendant.
Mm-hmm.
Right when his career was taking a upward tick.
Yeah.
And then he had this established career at the point when new media was really becoming
right.
a thing and social media. And so he had some credibility that other people lacked when information became so easily disseminated.
Sure.
Steve Pachanik is a guy who's nuts. He is one of the most fun liars I think I've ever heard.
Just spectacular.
But he also did work at the State Department.
Wild.
He was involved in Aldo Moro's death.
Yeah.
Like, these are things that, like, they are just real.
Yeah.
They did happen.
Yeah.
All these other, like, dicks who come around, people who are on, like, Project Camelot, they're just making up everything. Steve's making up a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But he also has that veneer of credibility that comes from what he was doing in the 70s.
Yeah.
They're like, no, I don't know if anyone will ever be able to replicate that.
If you want to put together good credibility in this space, you need one tiny acorn of truth about you. And that will unlock your oak tree of bullshit.
Yeah.
But you got to have the acorn.
You got to have the acorn. And then if you want to be like Steve, you've got to be naturally gifted at spinning these yarns and memorizing facts.
Yeah.
And,
or have a rare delusional disorder that allows you to think these things as though they were true and say them confidently.
And then at the same time, Steve wouldn't be able to work without Alex. Like, I've heard him on other shows. Like, he was on Coast to Coast a couple times.
Yeah.
It's not the same. Like, you need that Alex straight man that you can just steamroll.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You need to be able to flatter someone into giving you so much fucking leash that essentially it's gone until it is gone.
I own Amazon.
And then you are on a leash. That's what happened. He was like, okay, we're going to keep... Look, Dr. Steve can go out of pocket. We're going to keep him close, but we're going to keep him on a leash.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Alex is wearing that dog collar like, I don't know what happened.
Yep. That is exactly what happened.
Yeah.
So back to the narrative at hand. Steve took down the Soviet Union. Accidentally put in Gorbachev. Or it was intentional then, but in hindsight, not a great decision.
I mean, I think ultimately he should still be proud of that decision. Putin wasn't ready yet, man. Mm. That's the real issue.
It's probably true.
If it weren't for Gorbachev, if you hadn't have revealed the corruption in the system, you never would have gotten Putin in the first place. See, it's playing out all over again. History rhymes, Dan.
Well, interestingly, Steve is the kind of guy who likes to clean up his own messes.
Well, that's nice.
So, you know, he put in Gorbachev. It wasn't a good idea, but he fixed that.
Okay.
Gorbachev was not strong enough to control 11 time zones. At that time, the Soviet Union was 14 time zones. So we picked, I reconstructed that mistake, and I picked a man who worked for Andropov, the head of KGB, named Vladimir Putin. Putin knows he was picked by me. He was specifically picked because he was East German intelligence. He spoke English. He spoke German. He spoke Russian.
Yep. So apparently Steve handpicked Vladimir Putin to take over for Gorbachev to fix his mistake from after he overthrew the Soviet Union. And Putin knows that Steve Pachanik was the one who was behind his rising to power. Oh, boy. Outrageous.
Hey, Alex, just so you know, Putin owes it all to me.
And
it's all me, Alex. Everything inside your entire career, that's me.
And I can guide international relations by sending a message to China or India. Everybody just waits on my beck and call.
Alex, listen, if you fuck with me, there's nowhere I can't find you. Mm. I can find you in the north. I can find you in the south. I can find you around the world. 28 time zones. That's how many time zones I can find you in.
Steve's never that animated.
I know, but it'd be more fun.
Yeah.
My character, I think, is a little bit of a nice addition.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like...
Wow.
Steve's... Well, but Steve's menace is far more dry. You know, like...
That's true.
When there was the hurricane and he was scolding
true.
Alex about
That's
his
true.
Manners.
That is true.
It was more terrifying that he didn't yell at him. Mm. He was just like... Well, you know, my neighbor's house is underwater right now, and you're being a dick to me. Like, that's scary.
Yeah, yeah, he does have that cool, level-headed malevolence about him.
Yeah.
That's a big feature.
Yeah. So one of the clips that we found early on in our time doing the show was something that kind of shocked us, I believe. And it was the clip where Alex talks about going on RT, and he gets debriefed by Russian intelligence.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And That was a bizarre clip, and it's not something that we've heard a ton more from Alex about.
We're going to have to find those Steve Pachenik clips from 18 years ago.
So when Alex talked about that clip, or when he talked about that experience the first time we heard it,
yeah,
it was a story of the Russians being like, you know so much.
Yeah, right.
You're brilliant. You know, right, all this. Right, it was right. All about Alex.
He's too brilliant.
The story's a little different now.
Oh, is
Alex
it?
Tells it again.
Oh.
Kind of a different focus.
Odd.
The last time I was on Russian TV, this is probably about 10 years ago, 8-9 years ago, they go, listen, we got this group wants to talk to you. It's this Russian national TV. We want you on. So I'm sitting there on Skype out of my office, and it's this big boardroom, and there's all these guys with beards. This is obviously not TV, and it's like all the big brain bugs, their intelligence agency. Like, they're all looking at me, and they go, tell us about Pachenik. How do you know Pachenik? What do you know about Pachenik? What do you think of Putin and Pachenik? And they were, I'm not an intelligence operative. I'm a talk show host, but definitely they had been sent by Putin to ask about you. They kept like, and I just said, I don't know anything about Pachenik. He's an author. I've had him on. He used to work for U.S. intelligence agencies. But that's a true story, because, I mean, like, it's a boardroom of, like, 15 dudes. And, like, these aren't the Russians you see on TV. These are, like, the brain bugs, you know, like the, like, they're right. Just, like, totally, like
from Starship Troopers.
That actually happened.
Yeah, that actually happened.
That 100% actually happened.
Yeah, so now the story is
they were
grilling him about Pachenik.
Just because I've changed the story multiple times doesn't mean it didn't totally happen.
Well, and it's certainly, like, what would happen if Pachenik is single-handedly responsible for USSR Russian history over the last decades.
Yeah, it does seem like if he was the one who both overthrew the Soviet Union, installed multiple prime ministers,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth, I don't even think that the RT guys, unless it was a splinter group.
It would have to be.
That's the only reason they would be asking about Steve, right?
Right.
It wouldn't be, because Steve would get the phone call if
from
it was.
Putin.
From Putin. He'd be like, hey.
Bring, bring.
Yeah, exactly. It would be too easy. So now we've got
Steve.
A revolutionary group within the remnants of the Soviet Union.
Yeah.
Coming back to find out dirt on Steve so they can take him out because he's too powerful.
Or it didn't happen.
That would also be likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Alex got interviewed on Russian TV and like he was asked a question that sounded weird and it became spycraft.
Or he went on a show that did a pre-interview with...
You seem to talk to Steve Pachenik a lot. He's crazy, right?
With the writer's room. Yeah.
So, Steve, his big thing is that Biden's going to be gone soon. Although the way he talks about it is a little bit off-putting.
Biden will no longer be president. Blinken will not be Secretary of State. You will not have all these American Jewish guys who never served our country, 25 of them, remain in power. At the same time, Trump will have to have a whole new backup system, not with the people he had. Jared Kushner has to go.
Why?
Ivanka Trump has to go.
Yeah, it seems real strange. I mean, not strange at all, but...
No, that's vicious anti-Semitism.
He seems very strongly focused on defining people by their religion or heritage, and it's not good.
There are very easy visual ways to disqualify people as humans in Steve Pachenik's world.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Not good.
Nope. So Alex is like, Steve, our interview is about to come to an end, but I got to ask you, you're saying that Biden's going to go down. Give me a time frame.
Oh, God.
Give me a time frame, Steve.
Make me another bet.
I understand. So in closing, you got to come back again soon. StevePachenik.com. Found all your interesting work there. In closing, though, what is the time frame on Biden?
I will not give you a time frame because the last time frame was not accurate. So let us just say in time, with patience, you will see this evolution that we're talking about.
Oh, they know that evolution's there. That's why they're going to come after everybody.
Okay. All right, Alex. Convince yourself that
All right.
this guy isn't fucking with
so,
you.
So I admit I got the math wrong. The end of the world is not on December 21st, 2021.
Yeah.
It's going to be on December 21st.
It doesn't sound anything like
2020,
that.
21. So it'll be there.
This is so awesome and so frustrating and so funny. I can't imagine how little dignity one must have to allow Steve back on the show.
It's sad.
It's embarrassing to a level that I would have thought Alex would be above. He has such an ego to him.
Yeah.
That, like, I would have thought for sure he'd be like, Steve fucked me. That was, like, the around the election, that was unacceptable. Yeah. There is no way. If I let him back on the show, it's going to look so bad.
Yep.
Doesn't care. Steve's back. Steve's back, and Alex is making excuses for why maybe Steve's actually right.
Yeah. I mean, I heard it in his voice. I heard that there was a certain despondence in his voice that I felt like was definitely there.
Maybe.
A little bit of disappointment, maybe. A little bit of, like, just a small smidge of what have I become. I felt a small, like when he was like, yeah, that's what they're talking about. I feel a small smidge
of
it.
These are human emotions you're describing, and I'm not sure they relate to this artificial world of bullshit.
You are so right. You're so right. I'm trying to be a human.
I even think strategically from the world of bullshit, this is a bad decision. Like, because all you're going to do is anybody who liked Alex and thought he was on to something is going to look at him as somebody who has kowtowed to this guy who was wrong.
Yep.
And definitively wrong, and very angrily wrong.
Made a bet about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the Pope's been arrested.
Yeah.
Well, what about the guy we see walking around? You don't see anybody walking
around. Nah, come on.
It's great. So that's just going to hurt Alex's image in the audience's eyes.
Yeah.
The best you're going to do is you're going to attract Steve's fans to you. They don't care. Steve sells supplements, too. It's not like you're going to get his business.
He's going
to
be fine.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, this is sad.
And for somebody whose self-image is so fucking macho, to really go into this interview and just take a little kiss on the chin, a little pat on the head, and I'll see you next time is brutal.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Although, flip side, I'm happy because
I am too. I like seeing Alex humiliated.
Yeah, and there's
that's enjoyable.
And there's a Steve shaped hole on the show.
That's true. Not anymore.
No, like guy is just like he comes up with the baddiest shit.
Yeah. Now there's a fucking big head cutout of Steve directly behind Alex that you look up at every time you see Steve's face and his little tendrils.
Yeah, his presence is back on the show.
Oh yeah,
we appreciate it, and hopefully this will reinvigorate things. It'll make me more interested in seeing where the fun thriller novel that Steve's writing goes. Man. What's the next chapter?
What? How do you escalate it from I am the reason Putin owns Russia?
I know.
How?
Space politics.
Space politics. See, now we're getting an interesting territory.
Yes.
Yeah, eventually he's going to have to escalate it to off-world.
Oh, my God. Imagine disclosure happens, right? Imagine the government is like, yeah, we've been in contact with aliens. Steve's going to have to up his game.
Totally.
He knows all these aliens.
He's the one who negotiated the original treaties with the aliens.
As soon as... Oh, God.
Why did Aldo Moro have to go down? Aliens.
I would love it. Oh, God. I want disclosure to happen now just because of that.
Yeah, it's got to happen.
Oh.
Come on, government. We need Steve's work here.
Yes.
All right? So yours is secondary. Yeah. Your bullshit about hiding secrets, secondary to what bullshit Steve's going to make up.
Yeah, you are a roadblock in terms of our... The sort of interesting improvisational storytelling that we need Steve to engage in.
Absolutely. Come on, government. Yes and us here.
So that was the emergency report. I don't think watching it, I got convinced that there was an emergency or that January 6th is a false flag. I was convinced of things I already knew.
Yeah.
One, Alex is a spineless worm.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Agreed.
Steve is an anti-Semitic lunatic.
Yeah.
Nick Fuentes is a racist asshole.
Whoa.
And Alex has nothing else to do on Saturday except come in and maybe try and sell a few pills.
Yeah, it does seem like maybe he didn't have the kids that weekend or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to move a little product.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be back, Jordan. But until then, we have a website.
We do have a website. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yes, we are also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight. And @GoToBedJordan.
Also on Facebook.
We are on Facebook. Talent Show, iTunes. And if you could, please find a local charity or bail fund in your area to help out people doing God's work.
Yeah, we'll be back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm Daryl Rundis. I installed... Damn it. I can't remember what the name of the king from Skyrim was. I put that guy in power.
Okay.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.